like to introduce real quickly for anyone who isn't familiar with Domain Sherpa. We're a free educational resource. We offer video, podcast, or sometimes transcripts, where we interview in-depth subject matter experts who have some association with the domain industry, some integration from their subject matter into the domain industry. But the bread and butter, the favorite show that we do, is the Sherpa panel. It's a Sherpa review where we review domains on the current market. So if you are new to domaining, check it out. If you are not new to domaining, I find that most of the folks up on the stage throughout NamesCon also listen weekly to Domain Sherpa to hear what's happening and to hear the thoughts of other experts in the field. So without further ado, we have our three regular panelists. Delighted to have each of you. We have Michael Seiger, the founder of Domain Sherpa, the original host. Thanks for being here, Mike.
My pleasure. Great to be here.
Mike, fun fact, he lives two houses away from where pickleball was invented. Anybody play pickleball?
Has anybody heard of pickleball before? Yeah. Yeah, nice.
Yeah, yeah. Shane Coltra. Shane just returned from charity work in Kenya. Shane, Mike got into domains through angel investing, yes, started to learn about their value. Shane is a fifth generation nurseryman. I've been to his, that's the right word, right? Yeah, like he's got a nursery, like he grows trees and stuff. I mean, I was there, it's acres and acres and acres on just one of his properties. He brags about his tractors and he's like walking through one of his 300 greenhouses, and he's buying and selling domain names. So welcome, Shane. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for visiting me. Yeah, it's amazing how many domain investors just stop by in the middle of central Illinois to say hello. Aaron, our partner at DSAD, rode his bike from Colorado and showed up in the parking lot and said, hey, I just wanted to see the place. So it's anytime you're in central Illinois, feel free to stop by and I'll show you my tractors.
Domain or good time right there. And Andrew Rosner, domain valuation expert, global leader in domain brokerage. You won the escrow number one award yesterday. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Well done.
And very shy, very shy.
Andrew recently relocated to Portugal. Everyone is excited. Who's going to NamesCon this summer in Portugal? Yeah, yeah. Should be a good time. Andrew loves negotiation so much, he once told me he loves negotiation as much as he loves 70s music. So, thank you guys for being here. Let's quickly review the auction itself. The auction yesterday, was everyone there, I assume? Yes? Hello, Monty. What a great auction. $2.4 million in sales.
And that doesn't even include the extended auction. So Monty's got a smile on his face today.
Yeah.
Good job. Top three sales, OL.com for $900K, Leads.com for $435K, and DomainNames.com for $375K. Monty, I wasn't aware until you told me that mywebsite.com sold just before the auction for $70K. Do you have a figure on how many domain names sold?
I'll get back to you. 92.
All right. Thank you, Scott, my hero from NameJet, Scott Pruitt. Thanks. So, what were your thoughts on the auction? Surprised, impressed? Any big standouts? Drew, Mr. Shy, you go first.
I think it was an amazing auction. There was a lot of energy. I liked the, you know, a little bit faster pace, which I think kept everybody in the room and kept everybody, you know, interested. I got caught off guard in the beginning. I messed up. I wanted stop.com, and I didn't think that it had hit the reserve. I thought it wasn't selling, so I hesitated and I lost.
You stopped?
Yeah, I stopped. So I was kind of, I was probably the most pissed about losing that one. I made a hard play for domainnames.com. I stopped at 300. Ultimately, Frank Schilling took it to 375 and won it. Woke up with a little bit of regret not taking down that name. I would say overall, very impressed with the auction. I think great result for the aftermarket in general. I think we're going to see, some aftermarket momentum as a result of that. Great for NameJet, great for Monty, great for everybody. I was really impressed. I mean, like OL.com, if you said, look, let's make a bet, what that sells for or does it sell, I didn't think it was going to hit reserve. I would never have imagined it went to 900, but that was a great result. Leads.com, I think I said in the last, in the Domain Sherpa we did, I thought I think that's a sleeper. I think Leads.com sells. So I wasn't shocked to see that sell, but I was really happy with the, to see it sell for that price.
Yeah, I agree. Leads, I think, sold for 435, 435,000. I think, I love that one. I would have put money on that one if I was buying at that magnitude. I think that's a wholesale price. I think that's a $4 million domain name. And then you build it out, and that's a $40 million to $400 million business easily. And that one was a good buy. Stop.com, I agree with you 100%. Stop.com was the sale of the day. At $110,000, I think.
Best value.
The best value.
Yeah, best buy of the day.
And so I did a little research on that one to see who owned Stop.com before that. And it was our own Monty Khan, I think, that owned it. Yeah. So you auctioned off your off. You auctioned off your own with a very reasonable reserve price. And so, yeah, thanks for that. So that one was a steal. I agree. OL.com, I thought, sold for more than I thought it would. And that's the thing with these auctions. I never know if Monty's going to bring an end user in and going to get retail or close to retail, because that one was, that's either really high wholesale or...
That's not retail. I mean, that was the upper end of wholesale.
I don't know enough about two letters to say how many companies have it, who are the sale potentials. You know that a lot better than me. So, yeah, I agree with you. And Frank Schilling.
It makes sense for online.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
And then Frank Schilling with domainnames.com, he put his money where his mouth is and bought the number one domain name for a registrar to own. Nobody else showed up and tried to buy it with all the
I tried to buy it.
Well, you did. Yeah, but you're not a registrar. I think that the ultimate end user is a registrar, and he stepped up to the plate.
Yeah. I actually wanted to sort of integrate it with Domain Sherpa and make a name suggestion engine, name spinner. Domain search is a big... big thing to get your arms around, and I can't imagine a better domain than domain names for it. But it was one of those things, like, you got domain names have been good to me. You got one shot,
right.
It was like once in a lifetime chance to own domain names.
And it's now gone.
Yeah. And that's it, So you wake up a little bit like, fuck, should I have done that?
Drew, you mentioned that you think this will create a momentum for the aftermarket moving forward. What do each of you think about that momentum, what that will look like? Are you thinking momentum in with end users, momentum in volume, momentum in at the price ranges?
Well, Shane, you're tracking these auctions every day. I mean, what do you...
The high end is moving like crazy. The middle is pretty stagnant comparatively, but the oneword.coms, we're seeing at this auction, they're just moving. There's money behind it. They feel comfortable buying it. There's just no problem people throwing out 400K to 1 million K on a good name. And so... that's incredible. And then domain investors are turning that around. So they're selling the names for big money and putting it right back into domain names. And it's a good sign when you sell something at a good price and put it back into that asset. That's a really good sign. If they take it out and put it in the stock market or something else, that means it's getting tired and getting old. So to seeing it being reinvested is about as good a sign as you're going to find in the domain name industry.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Totally.
I just wish there was more in my range. I do want to trade my house for a couple things, but that it was more fun just cheering along. So I was living through Drew that whole auction.
And that's what's really special, to have the three Sherpa panelists, where I think, we got small, medium, and large range. And that makes a difference because we each have different budgets, different plans. So
Drew's crumbs are incredibly delicious.
Was OL one of those crumbs?
That's That's the whole sandwich.
Didn't you once own OL.com?
Yeah, that's way back, yeah.
Long ago at the beginning, yeah. Anyone on the panel buy a name? Bid on a name?
I did not.
Yeah, well, I don't actually know what I bought. As bad as that is. But I did buy a bunch of names. I think we got 5 or 6 or 7 names. I don't know. I know we bought NP.net. That was the one I think we stole that name. So NP.net for 13 grand, that was a...
So why do you think you stole that one with .net's? You know, clearly 2 letters is good in many extensions, but why do you think you stole it at 2letter.net?
There's no question about it. Like not .net has been probably harder hit than any other extension as a result of the new TLDs, because you got 1,000 new TLDs competing for second place, which is where .net's always lived. So, I don't think there's any surprise there that .net has seen some attrition. But that being said, .net's, you know, you've got mindshare. Like, it's been around 25, 30 years, 30-something years. So, there's mindshare. It still has a lot of value. There's age there. And ultimately, it's a scarce asset. There's only, 676 two-letter .nets.
So if you bought it for 13,000, 13,000, 17,000.
Yeah, you know, I used to be really active in the wholesale market of these sort of liquid assets, these 2, 3, and 4 letter .coms, .nets, .orgs. I haven't been as active, but you know, I know that let's say 2, 3 years ago when I was really active, and obviously markets change. I don't know what the current liquid value is, but I know that you know we were buying and selling these 2 letter .nets at 20, 25. And so, you know, if I see these things trading at 40% under that value, and I was making money then, I'm very happy to come in at 13 grand on a 2letter.net. I mean,
yeah, that's what I was wondering. What would be the retail price that you see? Because I don't track those
either.
Oh,
yeah. So,
I'd have to go on a name bio.
So I've sold quite a few of them at retail to end users, and it's always been, I'd say, 50 grand at the lowest. We had VR.net. We sold for 200 maybe. Probably that's under NDA. But.
So back to Tess's question. Another name you bought that I did make note of is a hyphenated domain name, and it doesn't include the .de top-level domain. You bought, I think,
oh, you're right,
startup.com with a hyphen in between start and up.
Monty basically peer-pressured me.
He did. I saw that. Yeah,
I was out, and then Monty peer-pressured me. He's like, you said you wanted this domain.
So do you have buyer's remorse on that one? Is that what you're saying?
Pardon me, this was start.
I don't remember what it cost. I think it was,
start.
You bought it for $3,500.
$3,500. You know, look, I've never spent $3,500 on a hyphen domain. I've let 99% of my hyphen domains expire this year. But it's startup, and technically that's the way it's supposed to be written. And so, you know, there's a lot of money and angles around the world of startups. I don't hate that purchase.
All right,
it's not my favorite of the day.
For $3,500, you took a bet.
Yeah.
Thank you, Monty.
I took one for the team.
So let's take a look at the second segment here. We look at investor-submitted domains. Typically, we review one investor's full portfolio, and we do that to give some strategic guidance. On this, though, it's a little fun with each of you actually here. So we have about 20 investor-submitted domains. Thank you to each of you who submitted, whether you're on the final list or not. And we're going to review those, and you folks are welcome to make some offers. Maybe Monty can pressure some more sales here. We'll see. So, Shane, why don't you get started?
Well, yeah, it was...
Oh. Wait, sorry.
Whose turn?
And everyone can pull up on your phones. You can see the full list. We're not able to do a slideshow because we get them pretty last minute. People have changes and who's available to be here. But go to domainsherpa.com. You'll see the post. It's just and if you scroll down, you'll see the full list of the domains. They start with Jason Shepard's autographed.com. Hi, Jason. Where are you? Hello. All right. So, Shane, you're up.
Yeah. No, it's... Honestly, the list that we get on a weekly review is not always as strong. It tends to be a lot of new investor list. So we really try and make something out of nothing when we're talking, maybe be creative. This one's not quite as hard. So autographed, I think I've seen before somewhere, maybe at NameJet, or I don't know, but I've seen it before. But in the autograph market, it's a fantastic name. I mean, if you're selling autographed memorabilia, that's a perfect name for that industry. So that's a name I really like on there. Of course, wireless is a pretty strong name. But
are you making an offer on that?
You know, here's the thing about this is I know who owns these names, and I don't feel like most of them are going to, we're in the same business, so I don't think that I'm going to be the right person to make offers. Like SBAC, when it comes to a fourletter.com, I do like fourletter.coms that end in C or A, names that make great acronyms.
Why the C or A?
A corporation is a nice one. A is association or associates. And just when you think of a longer name of a business, how do they end it? International, association, corporation, incorporated. Those are the words for acronyms. And you got to think, when the chip came around, I got in it because of the hype so much, but I still got the Western letters because I know what they're going to use. So I tried to stay in that range. I probably overpaid comparatively, but I'm seeing these Western letter, fourletter.coms hold their value compared to that market because they're still in use. They're going to get used by corporations. They're not as fun as some of the brandables, or they sit there. You're not going to get the greatest returns comparatively, but for a holding of assets, three-letter and four-letter.coms hold your asset value pretty well, and that's the niche. Now, I looked up what they paid. I won't say it publicly, but it's not too hard with name bio. And they paid exactly what my offer is going to be. So, I won't make an offer on that one as well. I can be a little critical on the ones that I have trouble with. So the CVCV names are, very popular right now. They're going for great prices. They're short. The ones that I'd struggle a little bit are like DUZA. No offense to Jason, but as an owner, sometimes I want to see another Z. I feel like that name might be Duza or Duzza, and I feel that could be a little confusing. But obviously, shorter generally is better. But anytime you add the slightest bit of confusion in a name, to me, it makes it a little bit less value. But you can't go wrong owning a CVCV name in the domain industry right now. It's as liquid as you get. They're getting used in industry. I know about 5 years ago, I was really into it, but nobody was actually using them. So it was pretty much just us flipping them around the tables here. And there's a market for that. Domainers, half of our business is probably to another domainer, but the real money is obviously the end user. And my eyes, I can barely read this. Do you know that? My eyes are so bad.
Do you want my glasses?
Sigra is making fun of my phone, or someone's on my phone. They're like, that's the largest print I've ever seen on a phone before. No, I think it was actually Braden. But it was you, Braden. Yeah, Braden showed me his phone. I go, I can't read a word on your phone at all. So, and then Go New York. I know all of us like that name. I think we talked about it.
So it's gony.com. Yeah. Great four letter.
Yeah, G-O-N-Y. Again, I will say the other information I have is gamble.info. I like that name. I think gambling right now, as soon as it becomes legal in the United States, is going to kill it. You're going to go to a sport. They're already making it right now where you're going to go into a sports stadium and bet on the games playing that day. That's just going to be monstrous billions of dollars. But gamble.info has no contact way to get it. So you type in gamble.info and there's no way to get a hold of the owner. So make sure that was something that I was going to email him, and that's Muhammad. Muhammad, you need an email address or at least some way for me to make an offer to pay you millions of dollars for gamble.info.
Yeah. Right here. Here's a way. Now, when we see a vertical like that about to go through a big shift, right? Gambling is about to become legal. It will change in that capacity, right? It'll change some of the online rules as well. Do you think it's better to sell your domain right before a shift like that, or right after?
I think it depends on, I think it depends on several things. But so I think if we look at other industries that have seen a similar type of regulatory shift or shift for other circumstances, like, the two that come to mind are cannabis and crypto. And so two very different things. So cannabis, I would say, is a much more sustainable and very less speculative I mean, there is a tremendous amount of speculation in that industry, but it's a very real industry that sort of touches on several of the largest industries in the world: pharmaceuticals, healthcare, pet care, fitness, health and nutrition, big. So that is a regulatory shift that is extremely sustainable, and that growth will be sustained for the near and midterm, maybe even long-term future. That's at least the next decade or two decades. We're going to see that industry evolve and grow. And so if you've got a really strong name in the cannabis space, I'm not going to tell you to not take some money off the table if you get a good offer. But I also don't see the value of those names going down anytime. Like that is going to grow. There's going to be more players, more money, more competition. And as that evolves, so we own a really good cannabis domain portfolio, and we've had lots of offers over the last 5 years. And I'm upset I sold some of the best names early on. I shouldn't have. I don't really regret it, but it's, hindsight's 20/20. But I know those names would be worth more today, and they'll be worth more in 5 years. And in the early days, actually, there wasn't as much liquidity as you might expect, even though there was so much boom, because the industry, there was so much low-hanging fruit. Not in terms of domain names, but in terms of these people were making, they were printing money. It didn't matter about the competition. It didn't matter. You didn't even have to run a good business to make money. As it gets more competitive and more regulated and more, transparent, those competitive edges matter more, and that's what you want. That's when domain names become extremely valuable, because they produce a sustainable competitive edge which can't be replicated by your competitors. So, in the case of cannabis, I would say do not, you're better off not selling before the wave or in the early part of the wave. On this stage, last year at NamesCon, crypto had already peaked. It had come down. I don't think any of us believed it was coming down as much as it has. But I said on one of those panels that, sell into the wave. And because that was highly speculative. I personally still believe in it, and I'm, whatever. But it's a lot harder to sell a crypto name when Bitcoin is $3,500 than it was when it was $19,000.
Yeah.
So, selling into the wave was a really good idea.
So let me add a layer on that. And it's a good, really good question. And I think that Drew nailed it, that you've got these waves that are changing in society where crypto, and I was thinking cannabis as soon as he asked the question. And so you have, I think it depends on the level of name. Like, I know it's public information that you owned MJ.com, right?
The price, though.
Not the price, and I'm not going to say that. And so there is the top of the top domain names for the marijuana cannabis industry that Drew could have kept on, could have kept, not sold it into the wave, which he did fine on, and it would have increased in value over time. Whereas when we see gambling,
to that point, we retained a piece of it, but
yeah,
the guy we sold it to sold it for seven times what we sold it to him for 1 year earlier.
And so I think you need to look at the domains as their own magnitude. So MJ is on a different level than gamble.info, right? We're talking about tier two, tier three, tier four, whatever it is. I'm not going to go into the detail there, but there are a lot of domain names that could replace gamble.info. So I would definitely sell into the wave on that one. As the frenzy happens, because more and more states are legalizing it, I would sell that. Personally, I would sell that kind of domain name and take out the money as soon as you could and put it into something better. And then I would, like Drew is saying, if you have the luxury of holding on long-term on the premium, ultra-premium ones, I would hold those.
Thank you, Michael. Now, I think we have not given a single number, whether making an offer or not. We have some number values here to discuss.
So. All right, let me give some thoughts here.
Did Shane throw out?
Yeah,
you throw out some numbers?
No, the one thing I was going to say just before we get to the numbers is, when we're trying to get ahead of these waves, we don't always know what they're going to use. So you notice there's trends in how they label stuff. Like when cannabis came along, we're all using weed. and adding certain terms that we think that they're going to use, and it turns out they don't want to use those. So I think on gambling, we might find out that everyone that gambling to associate at the stadium may put the word bet in front of it, or they may put the word wager, or they may put the word green. You know, you just don't know. So that's the problem with these trends is you think you have a gambling name, and they find out that's the not preferred term on these. So you early, sometimes you do sell into it because other people don't know either. So, and we found that in cannabis. There's certainly a trend in cannabis. There's a lot of weed names out there that we know a cannabis company's not going to ever use because they don't use those terms. So, you know, in that case, there are trends. And then a lot of new domainers, that's your only way to get big money is you try and get ahead of trends and new registrations because you can't afford the $100,000, but you can try and get ahead of something that hasn't been named yet.
Which I highly discourage.
Yes, it's... Yeah, it's not a great way to make money.
Yeah, so let me throw out a couple names with some numbers that I like on here. I like golfoutlet.com. I think it's a great brand, but then you got to question how many companies are going to come along and form another outlet or open the stores, and so the number goes down. You know, those kind of brandables, I'm not an expert on brandables. It could be anywhere from like a 15,000 to 100,000, maybe 150,000 if the company's definitely going in that direction. Games 24/7, I like that one. I just had dinner with Bill Karamouzis, who was the founder of Addicting Games, and then he sold it, and he just bought it back. And Deepak, you should talk to Bill about that one, because he's doing some pretty phenomenal stuff. Where are you, Deepak? Some pretty phenomenal stuff. Go NY is great, call to action. How long would you, Drew, that, you know, these kind of call to action type names. It's so short. I love it. It's the four letters, but you could hold that one the rest of your life and not have anybody come to you and want to buy it as a marketing name.
Yeah, I mean, this is a tricky name. So tricky in a good way. Like, you know, there's no real negatives here, but, you know, I always say, look at your addressable market. And so GoNY.com. Like, I think if we're sort of forgetting about the addressable market, and in terms of addressable market, not how many tourists are going to go to New York, it's who are the agencies, the companies that would be potential buyers for GoNY. There's a lot of variations of that name. GoToNY.com.
VisitNY.com.
VisitNY.com. GoNewYork.com. You know, GoNewYorkCity.com, because the rest of New York doesn't really matter. And sorry to you folks who live in Rochester or, you know.
So that potentially reduces the price.
So that potentially
that you can
reduces
ask
the price.
So many substitutions.
But at the same time, other than visitny.com or visitnyc.com or visitnewyork.com, it probably is, well, you know, in that top tier of variations.
Right.
And but the fact that there are all those options out there, including .nyc, and go.nyc, you know, it's a strong brand.
Yeah.
So I could, you know, I think that it severely handicaps your upside, but I think, you know, you've got a fairly strong lower limit.
What would you hold that for?
So they've got it listed for $34.9.
Yeah, I think that's probably not outrageous. I think my realistic strike price on that name would be 15 to 25. Yeah. I think, you know, if you're examining your options and you're, you know, a legit agency, legit tour booking company, whatever, whoever you are, you know, I think it's hard to justify buying a lesser name for $5,000 or $7,000 if you can get GoNY.com for $15,000, $20,000, $25,000. So
yeah.
I think strike price is in that range.
And so a couple others I like. I like VR.tours. If I own that one in the new G's, I would hold that for a long time, because VR and AR has taken a lot longer than we anticipated to become mainstream, and that's one you just need to hold on to see, like you held on your dot-coms if you bought them in the early 90s. I like Ganesh.com. I ran the statistics on it, 110,000 search exact match searches per month. There's 1,500 people in the United States with Ganesh as their first name. It's a name of a god, I think. Probably many, many more people around the world. I like it. You know, you can go to howmanyofme.com and see how many in the U.S. were in the census of a name, first name or last name.
What was the website?
Howmanyofme.com.
Really? That's cool.
Yeah, I thought you told me that. Anyways, and then you go to namebio.com, and you know, people don't know how to. NameBio is such a phenomenal tool because you can search in the categories and subcategories. And so you go to other in the category, and then you go to given names as a subcategory, and then you can look at comps of first names. And so, you know, Abdul just sold yesterday for 13,000 names con auction.
That ugly bald guy there.
So I think that that's I don't specialize in names. I know you've done a lot of names in the past. I would say $5,000 to $50,000, somewhere in that range. And then as I understood it better, I could tighten up the range there. I like that. Videosoftware.com, I thought would have a lot more search volume. It's got about 10,000 exact match searches per month. Clearly an exact match domain name, $2 CPC. So then I immediately go to Google, type in video software into the search engine because I want to see if there are ads that are in existence. There are. So if I own that domain name, Drew, if I was Drew, I would build it out because Drew, if you heard him yesterday.
Not me.
Yeah.
Washington.
So that's why he put this in there. If it was a domain investor, I would say find Drew and work out a deal with him, or find the affiliate marketing guys, and there are a few of them here because they understand that space and how to make money.
And I would push that as a marketing name. To me, that's too generic to name your whole company.
Oh, exactly.
But if 100%. You're in that field, that's how you sell it, is you say, hey, that is your product, that's what you do, and you need to put that on things. So don't try and say, hey, that's going to be your new company, because I just don't think that works anymore.
Exactly.
It's not 2007.
And Esteban came back at a $235,000 price on video software, which is crazy. I would put a retail, if I owned it, I'd probably sell it in the $10,000 to $30,000 range. I hope you paid a little bit less than that, Drew. No, around there. But you know the market. You know how to build. And then, of course, the one that you've seen on the list is wireless.com. That is just, I would buy it today. Drew would buy it today. Braden would outbid me today. You know, is the owner of wireless.com in the audience?
Where's Emmy?
All right. I was going to make an offer, but he's not here. So
yeah.
I was going to offer $1 million, but because that's
not here, he's not here.
That's what his asking price is online.
Yeah. So, all right. So
he won't take $1 million even.
Yeah, we've touched a lot of the great ones here. I mean, autograph.com, I'm generally not a past tense guy. I really, really don't like past tense names, but autograph.com is the way to say it.
I mean,
autograph.com is a better brand, and autograph.com is sort of a more open vessel. Autograph.com could be could be anything. It, you know, can be
here's what
premium
he paid
cars,
for it.
Travel.
So that's what he paid for.
Oh, man, he's into that perfectly. Like,
yeah.
You know, that's,
and
you
we can say it because it's on Name Bio, right? So that makes it public.
Yeah.
So it was a great, on December 14th at 5K, is
that
what
was a
they
steal.
Went for.
I mean,
that's a hell of a buy.
Autograph.com for 5K is an
so
absolute.
So the only thing I would say about that is that I interviewed Jesse Stein, who built sportsmemorabilia.com. So that's a mouthful. But he came on Domain Sherpa a few years ago, talked about building that up into a multi-million-dollar company. That is the phrase that people search for when they want the memorabilia. And this is a subset of that. So it's a smaller market. I think that's a good price because autographed memorabilia is a big market, yeah. But it's just a subset. Yeah.
But you know, any name that you look at, this is a business in a box, you know, Not to undervalue what it takes to build that into a business, but you know, if you've got the wherewithal and the skills and the resources to build a business, and you want to be in that space, that's a great brand. You know, you can feed your family with that brand. So, you know, great name.
Here's a business in the box, and the only other call to action on here: orderroses.com.
Yeah, orderroses.com is a great name. I just don't like that space because Flowers, 1-800-Flowers is a household name. You know, they were one of the first big internet companies. They've been growing. They've been making acquisitions. Super competitive, low margins. You know, they've got better distribution and logistics deals than you're ever going to get. I just think it's, you know, I think you could be an affiliate. And
you could be an affiliate. You could sell it as a marketing name. Maybe they have a marketing campaign where they want to focus on ordering roses for Valentine's Day, but it's not a business anymore.
So it's one of those names you got to be careful with because it is a great domain. Orderroses.com. It says what it is. It it's actionable. It's a great name. But if you dig a little bit into the industry, you're going to find that it's extremely competitive, you know, low margin, and you're going to have a hard time building a business there. your best bet is, you know, like Michael said, you know, create an affiliate site and try and drive traffic. But then you're competing against the company that you're, because they're extremely aggressive online marketing.
Right, but so. It doesn't have much exact match search volume according to Estabot. Yeah. So that's the number that I do look at, how many people are actually searching for order roses. I think they're typing in roses or they're typing in flowers or something. So I think it. I think the only way it can be used is as a marketing campaign, the URL for tracking, things like that.
So I'm going to touch on two names, two maybe three. So ng.org, I love this domain. So ng, I believe, I might be talking out of turn here, but I believe that's the most common Vietnamese surname. I think, I'm pretty sure, I don't know what the stats are here. Maybe somebody else can look for it.
14,800 exact match searches per month on
NG. But that's going to be U.S. only, okay? And we have a lot of Vietnamese in the United States, particularly like, you know, in the San Francisco area. But the, you know, worldwide, I can promise you it's a much bigger number. It's probably close to, you know, 500,000 searches, I would guess, on global exact match search. I think it's the number one Vietnamese last name. So
sounds like you want to make an offer.
Yeah.
Is the owner in the audience? No? No owner.
Really? NG.org? You're not here?
Viet?
Another $1 million offer?
No.
All right. Well, that's a shame. I would probably taken that name, 15, 20 grand, probably all day long. I like that name a lot. That was one that jumped out at me right away when I saw the list. So love that name. You know, you're talking about a two-letter.org, even forget about the meaning. Scarce asset, liquid, you know, you're never going to go hungry. So,
but you notice that GoDaddy sales at Afternic, or that was org was number two, right behind there in resale. You know, so that was a little surprising.
I've been saying it all along. You know, .NET's been hurt, and I still like .NET. I think, you know, a lot of .NETs are undervalued, and so I like, you know, if I see an undervalued keyword, undervalued two, three letter, you know, I got no problem buying a three letter, two letter .NET or undervalued one word. But .org, I think, has really just, it's gotten so much mindshare. It's got its own brand recognition. It, you know, it's not just the redheaded stepchild that .net is. It's like .net is, I couldn't get the .com or I don't have the money, and so I got .net. And there are exceptions to that rule, and there's some that just make sense as a .net. But it doesn't have its own brand. To the extent that .org does. And .org is it's trusted. You know, there are certain names that I think are more valuable as a .org. I was debating with somebody yesterday that I think give.org is a better domain than give.com. I'm not saying it's more valuable. Give.com is clearly more liquid and more liquid at a much higher valuation. But I think if you are a business owner or a charity and you're trying to solicit, you know, charity giving online, I think people trust give.org more. You're going to get a higher conversion rate. You're going to get more notoriety. You're going to get more trust. You're going to get more links. You're going to get more attention from media. I think give.org is a stronger brand than give.com every time.
And the second level domain, give, matches the first level domain, .org. They match right up.
Yeah. And then the other one I was going to mention that we haven't really talked about was...
Fintech.xyz?
I mean, so I'll tell you what. You know,
he told me he's not here, so.
Okay,
here's
what I'm going to say. So, you know, I have a reputation of being a little bit critical about new GTLDs, despite the fact that, you know, we actually own, you know, I don't know how many, but a you know, decent little portfolio. It's not like much of our portfolio, but we've got a decent little portfolio of some new GTLDs, mostly .xyz and .club, some random mixed other SLDs in there. I watched Bhavan's keynote yesterday, and I think it was really fascinating looking at the process that Radix went through to select their TLDs that they were going to go after. They narrowed it down to 100, then from there they went down to 30 or 31, and you know, the very data analytical approach they used to figure out which strings they were going to chase and exactly what was the lifetime value of that string. And then using that, you can, you know, figure out what you're willing to spend to buy that string. And as he was going through that slides, you know, he was talking about, you know, that these registries, the numbers they're looking at are the wrong numbers. A lot of them are looking at, first-year registrations and waving their flag that we've got more registered. But ultimately, the most meaningful number, which I agree with, is second-year renewal. And second to that was usership, and they were using a lot of different metrics to measure users. So how many names in that string had SSL on them? How many
MX records, for email?
And I think that's genius. I think that's a very intelligent way to analyze the health of a particular new TLD or any TLD. And .xyz was like blowing away the pack, it was a little bit, very few people I've spoken with ever agreed with me, but I always liked XYZ just because it is the only one out there that's truly generic. And, it's a little bit cutesy, and I don't think, even if we went back to ground zero and it was like you've got .com, .net, .xyz, .whatever, if all of these were available in 1985 when Symbolics.com got registered, I'm not saying that .xyz would be the bee's knees, but if you're a blogger, if you've got a small business, if you've got a local business, I like .xyz. I just think that it's So now fintech.xyz, I don't like that name just because the type of SLD that I like with the .xyz TLD are cute names. I like people's first names because I think it's almost like a dot blog in a sense. It's like, I bought, actually, I got my whole family's name. I didn't get mine because they had it as a premium, which I didn't want to pay. I did. I had drew.xyz, and I think it's the only one I actually sold. Somebody, for whatever reason, I think I put a buy it now on all of them by accident, and then somebody came in and on AfterNick and just clicked buy it now and bought
drew.xyz. So you heard that. He bought all his family's names and then listed them all for sale.
I love my wife, but
but for $12,000.
Let the beginning begin. That's all I got to say about the fintech XOZ. I really liked that exercise of looking at these SLDs from a data approach, not emotional, not I like this, I don't like this, screw you, this is good, I don't like their marketing practices. Forget about all that. Let's look at the data. What's worked. And I thought that was a really interesting presentation. I liked the way he analyzed it. And, at the end of the day, the numbers don't lie, right? So I thought that was really interesting.
Speaking of an SLD matching the TLD, look at DIY.tips.
Again, let's go back to addressable markets. So do-it-yourself.tips. Who's the buyer on that name? It's never going to be some big corporation. The buyer on that name is, people are going to be hated because, but I'm going to just
watch yourself.
I don't care. It's going to be some, a stay-at-home mom who wants to create a blog and talk about do-it-yourself tips, right? Or a very small business. It's going to be somebody's idea that they want, and that's not a bad thing. But you just have to be pragmatic about who is the buyer, and it's going to be that. Do-it-yourself, stay-at-home,
right.
Small business.
Which means that the retail
hustle,
price is going to be limited.
Exactly. You're never selling that name
a
couple grand.
This was not set up for domain investors. That's the whole thing is we are resellers. And a lot of these work for do-it-yourself home people. And that's great. That's what they need to buy because they have $10 or $20.
But let them buy it from the registry.
But let them buy it. Yeah, we're out of that market. We are domain investors. We need markets to establish and then we come in.
Right.
If you're using domain investors to establish a market like XYZ does, that's not really how you want to establish.
However, I see that as a publishing play and I'm a publisher first and investor second. I do investing part-time. And I would look at that as like, that's a pretty good brand for allowing do-it-yourselfers to publish information, sort of like, what's that site with all the steps, WikiHow or something like that. I view it like a WikiHow. Maybe you have some videos in there. Maybe you do a rev share with the producers based on content, based on page views. The way Drew develops his websites for lead gen, I would potentially try and build something on that one. I wouldn't pay more than top end $15,000 I think is the value for that, and most likely it's going to be a blogger who wants it, and they'd probably pay 1500 to 2000.
Yeah, man, but I disagree. I don't think you're ever getting 15 grand for that name because, no. You know, before I spend 15 grand on DIY.tips, I'm going to go see what's on DIY.blog and
sure.
DIY.net and DIY.club.
They're going to keep typing.
Yeah, they're going to keep going.
And yeah, there are a lot of options.
There's
exactly.
going to be somebody's going to have a buy it now for $499 or, you know what I mean? Or there's going to be one that you can, maybe it's as good, maybe it's not, but it's, you know, when you say 15 grand versus, you know, 50 or 500 or 1500, they're going to take the cheaper option because DIY.tips doesn't bring any sustainable advantage that you can't find somewhere else.
This is fantastic advice, I think, for many different domain purchasing options when, you know, to walk you through the thought process. We did not get a lot of offers here, guys. I'm going bottom to top for no reason. GolfOutlet.com, make an offer. Somebody.
Take it for grand.
Grand. Josh, you here? Grand? Golf Outlet? Counter offer? All right. I'm not a great auctioneer. Games 24/7? No offer?
No, I don't know the space.
All right. Yeah. Okay. You didn't peep a word about Order Roses. That's your space. What would you pay for it today?
You know, I don't do cut flowers. Everybody assumes because flowers, I do potted plants. But yeah, I mean, it's just a tough, tough business. Even when plants.com came up, I knew the four people that could afford that name. And Drew and I talked about it early, and I just said, the money in that space is they're not going to pay that kind of money. And Order Roses, they're just not going to do it. You're going to have to set up something. And we all have a million names that we can build out. So if the word build out comes up, I'm already on to the next one because I'm not building out.
Would you make an offer on it? Or
no, I can wish him luck, though. How about that?
All right. Would you send him roses?
I'd order roses from the site. If they build it out, I will be the first person to order roses.
All right. Grow facility, we haven't discussed at all and not a ton of time, but I think Drew and Shane from different perspectives make some offers here. Grow facility.
I don't like grow facility. I think, you know, it is that's what you call industrial size greenhouse in the cannabis space would be a grow facility, but nobody's going to brand as grow facility. Nobody and a grow facility isn't doing any marketing. So, it's a B2B business. I don't know who the buyer is.
Okay. All right, it's not you.
Me.
UnitedWealth.com. Oh, he's not here. You know what?
I like UnitedWealth.com, but it's like that's a name. I want to buy a name jet for $69 or $150.
Right. Yep. Okay, so your offer is $150.
Yeah. And it'd probably go for more than that at NameJet.
Yeah, it probably would go for you know, mid four, three, maybe.
Capital,
four,
wealth, there's a whole group.
Yeah, no, that's a good name.
And some of those actually go a lot higher.
Yeah.
The AB Capital or the DW Capital, those will sell for like a couple grand, I think, wholesale.
Yeah, no, that's a very good name. I just don't want to be into it for what he probably would need to.
Drew, SBAC.com, make an offer.
So I really like that name, and I...
That's what he paid.
I would love to own that name. I was a little bit concerned, and before I would make an offer on it, I would want to do a little research, but isn't that like the name of the small business loan company?
Now that you say that, that does sound familiar.
Isn't that like the
does somebody
Small
know?
Business Association Bank?
Small Business Administration Center? Small Business Administration... SBA, yeah. I think that's what we're thinking about. Just
SBAC resonates with me. There's like something out there called
that's a
SBAC.
Good name.
So after
but
you
it
do,
is, that, that's
do
a
well,
name.
You know, that's like Blake that was up here before lunch. He bought HUD.loans, right? And the HUD is a organization within the government. So he's just facilitating people getting HUD loans. This could be a company that facilitates Small Business Administration loans because those are hard to get. So you know, it could be a business in a box as well for
totally.
People that know that space.
Yeah. I mean,
and so yeah, what would that be on the retail?
Retail, you know, again, this is a name I would want to do a little diligence to figure out, you know, what my liabilities are, because some of those government organizations, it's okay to squat on them. Some of them, it's not okay. They've gotten really aggressive recently with taking some of the military names like Army.com, Navy.com. So, you know, I would want to do a little homework before I. Win it. But, you know, assuming that I green-lighted it, you know, I definitely pay a few grand for that name and feel good about it.
Yeah.
Okay, vapors.com?
It's like, I almost want to love it. You know, like I wouldn't mind owning that name. That name comes up on NameJet. I'm bidding for it. But, you know, I'm probably topping out at $2,000.
You only have two competitors in this auction right here.
Well, yeah, I would easily pay $2,000-$3,000 for that name right now, no problem. But I also would not encourage him to sell it to me for that because, you know.
Like
V-A-P-O-R-S?
Yeah.
I'll do five.
All right, Josh has got five. Is the owner in here? All right, $5,000? No go.
$6,000. $7,000. All right, I'm out.
Yeah, and that's the problem. When you get a hot market, everybody gets really proud of their names. Just, you know, vaping, any form of vaping, they're going to want to keep it.
Yeah, cannabis is the fastest growing industry on the planet. The fastest growing segment of that industry is extracts. The fastest growing segment of the extracts market is vaporizers. So, in various forms. So, you know, it's a super hot segment. It's come back to what